Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, our co-host. Chris, good to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here, Dr. Paul. Thank you.
Good. We want to talk about, of course, we'll talk a little bit about the Federal Reserve, a little bit about spending. We might even have to mention coronavirus because sometimes that involves economics, too. But it's a mess out there, as most Americans realize it. But the real problems have been tided over with super counterfeiting. $3 trillion since the stock market broke its uptrend, you know, in March. And then we had the coronavirus. So $3 trillion. Boy, the Republicans and Democrats came together. You hardly heard a squabble. Yes, 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 do it as quickly as you can. They did it so fast that they made a $1.4 billion mistake in sending out a million checks to dead people. So somebody said they made a mistake. My reaction, well, that's what governments do. They make mistakes philosophically, and then when they carry it out, it's a big mistake too. But right now, they say they need more money. Republicans and Democrats, they agree. The $3 trillion from the Congress, $3 trillion increase in the balance sheet of the Fed. But right now, you know, it's shaky. And they know they need more money. The Republicans have agreed to it. The Republicans, you know, give lip service on a rare occasion about cutting back. And right now, they're thinking that they have to talk to their base a little bit. So we have to try to moderate this a little bit. And they're arguing that, yes, we need $1 trillion. But guess what? The Republicans are arguing among themselves how to spend another $1 trillion. They never ask where does it come from, but they're arguing about how do they get to spend it. But they want to talk to their base. So they said, hey, this is a little bit too big. But Pelosi talks to her base and her Marxist friends, and she says that $1 trillion just won't do it. That's nothing. That's peanuts. We need a lot more money to do this. So I think we've been on a trend for a long time, and I wanted to put a chart up here, and I want to start off today with a chart. It sort of dramatizes what has been happening, not this last 6 months with coronavirus and the Federal Reserve, but what has happened, you know, over the many years that we've been watching this, especially since the Fed was turned loose after the Bretton Woods agreement broke down. But this is an interesting chart because it starts back in the first year is in 1951 on the left part of that chart to 1981. And they show that things weren't too bad. The economy, though, basically, if you look at those lines that are close together, the economy always grew a little bit better than the debt. Now, in 1971, they were starting a separation, but the line up and down, this perpendicular line, that's marked in 81. But even before that, 71 is when the big trouble started, and that's when the Bretton Woods was totally destroyed, and we went off the gold standard. But then you go to the right-hand side, and this is a real story right there. So the top line there gold ratio to it's the ratio to the gold economy. In that period of time, the debt was rising tremendously faster than the economy. So the line at the top is the debt. Down below, the colored spot, and that is the economy crashing. So it's very, very clear that if you don't have an anchor to your monetary system, things happen. Things happen. Most people say, well, it's good. That's why I get low interest rates and I got my house and business people were surviving. We made a lot of money in the stock market, but it's all fake money. It's all deceit and deceiving people into believing they have wealth, but it's not real wealth. And that's what they're struggling with now is there's a lot of dollars floating around out there, but it's an addiction. And believe me, if they don't come up with another trillion, and even by the fall, a couple trillion, yeah, people will say, hey, what are we going to do? We don't have enough money. There's always the argument, we don't have enough money. Whether it's deflationary problems or inflationary problems, the people come up short with money. But these last several months, you got to give them credit. A lot of people, you know, survived barely. Because they had checks sent, and they were put on the biggest dole handout ever. It was at the rate of $43,000 a year. It's not like getting a little bit of help if your unemployment benefits. This was a big deal. And Yet now the Republicans say, well, maybe that was too much. Maybe we should lighten up a little bit. But we have our problems. The problems are being made bigger and bigger and more complex. And the only thing they have to offer so far, Chris, has been, you know, how much can you print and how fast can you print it? And who's going to get to pass it out? They have no care about, you know, what to do about it, because there's a little bit of pain with taking the medicine that is needed. So they're going to delay the real treatment. And, you know, I sort of understand that. If you're in politics, you're in there to make people happy. And the best way to make people happy is lie to them and tell them, we're going to make you rich. Anything you need, we're going to print money. And, of course, ultimately it comes to an end. And I think the real turmoil that we're facing and looking at today is the fact that more and more people are realizing the climactic end is very close.
That's true, Dr. Paul. And you mentioned deceptions. And that's, what a word, because that encapsulates what it means to be an American in 2020. We are surrounded by deceptions. The left deceives the population about coronavirus. And for any new viewers, if you haven't seen, we've been covering, Daniel and Dr. Paul have been covering coronavirus throughout the week, and it has been excellent. But today we're going to talk about deceptions from the right. The right deceives about the economy. And, you know, I hate to say it, but the president and the people that believe him, to them, the stock market is the economy. And it's not. The economy is actual wealth production and exchange, not the stock market. And today we have, I believe, 50 million unemployed. And the stretching out of this corona deception is going to create even more damage. The fact that the Fed printed all these trillions of dollars and it drove up stock prices, this is not new wealth creation. Even if stocks hit record highs, and they might, you know, I know President Trump will be happy, but this is another big deception. This is why you do not want government involved so much in our lives and in our economy, because you're ultimately surrounded by lies from every angle, and politicians will destroy whatever's in their path, your livelihood, your business, whatever it is, your collateral damage, in order for them to get more power.
Very good. You know, in the Depression, there are many pictures from that period of time when people were hungry and things were bad because there was this major correction of the Federal Reserve inflation. So they have a deflation and a depression, and everything the government did, Republicans and Democrats, was wrong and made it worse. So people literally were starving, and they, when they needed food desperately, there were food lines. The government would provide food, but long lines of usually men standing out waiting to get some food. But we live in an age today where there are a lot of people, even before it was announced that we have a recession and these things going on, there were still a lot of people, which many people have been in denial of, because that was one of my arguments, is that interventionism, inflationism is destructive to the middle class, and without a sound currency, the middle class is hurt and the rich get richer, and that's what leftists always play on. But I think there are still lines, and I think they're dramatic, and you can find them on television and different places. And they're in cars. They're not people standing out on the street as much as in their cars. One is, the overreaction to the coronavirus and its demand, and it looks like compulsion, that everybody's going to have to take a test and then get a vaccine. And that's another story that we talk about a lot. But people are just terrified. If people ask me, well, you know, I feel pretty good, but I sneezed last week. Do you think I need to get a test? I said, that's the last thing you need. They don't have a magic cure, and there's no magic diagnosis. They're deceiving us about the diagnosis and who's really sick and who has actually died from corona. I said, I wouldn't get it. But everybody's been terrified. They're scared to death, and they're not mandated, but practically they are, because pretty soon that will be the only thing that will be allow us to travel. Is how do you, are you positive or negative? And if you're not negative, or you haven't had a vaccine, which is coming, then you won't have a passport to go where you want. So that the lines are huge. People wanting to get tested. They're convinced, well, you know, it's scary. And they're lining up by the thousands to get free tests done. But there's another test. There's people lining up for the food bank. and but they're in cars, and you just drive up, keep your windows down until they ask you to, then they hand you some food. And that, again, is a reflection of our spending and monetary policy, because there is a slump and there is a correction that's trying to fix this, which is always resisted by the politicians, and the people don't understand that we don't need more handouts, we don't need more spending, we don't need more inflation, we don't need lower interest rates, and that's everything is going to be all right. So, but they do need the food, and they'll go out, and unfortunately, symbolically, it's a complex story. You just can't go out in those lines and somebody's been really hurting because they lost their job, they lost their rent money, and they're in destitute, and somebody says, well, the government's going to help you out, they're going to give you for free food. You can't, that's not the time to do it. It has to be at another time where people can be more calm and try to understand, how do we get here and how do we change this? So just going out and giving lip service to this, or just giving it more morphine, it's not going to fix the problem. But those two lines, next time you see them on television, they're very symbolic of two problems created by the government. The coronavirus fears and the concerns that they have has been caused by government. The virus is very serious, but we've had things like that before, and it's never been managed this way, where everybody had to be terrorized and put under house arrest, where everybody automatically, obedience to the state is the mask. If you don't have a mask, you're not obedient to the state. So this is a different thing, but that whole thing is caused by government, bad government, and people too willing to go along. But the food lines, yes, there's sadness there. But and they don't understand economics. They'd have kept working. They'd have kept paying their bills if they could. But because of overspending and this exuberance, there always has to be a correction. It happens all the time once you have a monetary system, which is artificial, where you destroy a market rate of interest. And anybody who needs anything, you just print the money and appropriate a bill. And so the food lines and the lines to get your test for coronavirus is all man-made. You know, there's problem out there, economic problems as well as a health problem. But the more you get the government involved, the more you get the Federal Reserve involved, the longer the lines will be, and the longer the lines are, the more chance there is going to be real chaos and violence in our streets. And unfortunately, it'd probably be too easy to point out what's going on in our streets right now.
Right, Dr. Paul. And, you know, more stimulus, as you say, will not help. Another $1 trillion of counterfeit money only hurts. You know, counterfeiting money does not create wealth. It's not the amount of money that you have in your pocket. It's how much it buys. And when they counterfeit, your money buys less. That's why when you go to the supermarket, a loaf of bread is now $5. It's because the money is being destroyed. You know, with sound money, you want $5 to buy 3 loaves of bread. That's what we want. But instead, it's going in the opposite direction. Look at like salad dressing, the packaging, and everything is getting smaller and smaller. We'll be buying salad dressing out of a thimble soon. And I don't blame the salad dressing companies. They need to stay in business. But it's the Fed that is destroying the dollar. And that's why even when they create all this money, prices rise, we get less, our standard of living goes down. And, you know, there is something even more insidious that is going on, because the more of this stimulus, the more we're sliding into this de facto universal basic income. Why work? Stay at home. The government will send you a check. So many people have wanted this crazy idea. And it's, you know, unfortunately, I have to blame the president because he's contributed. He stretched these lockdowns by giving people $600 to stay home. If he didn't do that, they would have went to work no matter what anybody said, because they have to in order to live. So the stimulus pacified them. And now politically, it's going to be very hard to stop. People are used to their money. They don't want to go back to work. Are you going to be the one to stop them? So this is the mess that they've created with these stimulus checks.
Right. And the treatment is artificial as well. Even before the crash came and the stock market broke, apparent wealth was artificial because it was all based on debt. We weren't as wealthy as a lot of people thought. But there's been a point made about the recovery. See, they already talk in terms of recovery cautiously because there is no recovery, but there is a recovery in the stock market. Can you imagine? The NASDAQ is at historic highs. It went down, yeah. The natural tendency for a correction is for them to go down and get back to a pricing level. But no, the money came in. It was injected. So in addition to the $3 trillion that the Fed or the Congress spent, the Fed injects a lot of easy credit and zero interest rates to help the banks and the big corporation. But there's one statistic that says that that they argue, well, there is a recession. I mean, there is a recovery now because personal income is up and they're spending money. And therefore, the stock markets are indicating we're on our way, which is nonsense. Why is their personal income up, and why is there a so-called increase in personal spending, which probably isn't even true? It's because we sent them those checks. You know, of course, there's going to be spending. But a lot of them did one thing, which I thought was wise. They're going to do that. A lot of them did pay down some of their own debt, which is the natural instinct, what a person would do in a free market, sound money economy. If things got out of whack, what you do is you pay down your debt. And you get more liquid, and you work harder, and you build your capital. But right now, they're astounded that personal incomes are up. Real personal incomes are not up. And I think the chart I showed originally is the chart to watch. Income is not going up, and debt is going up, and economic growth is going down. And the people know that. So that's another example, Chris, that we talk about so often, is the people are supposed to believe everything the government tells. I think they believe way too much because they're believing the stories about, you know, the scaremongering going on with coronavirus. But it might take them a while to have it sink in. But people too often, you know, are frightened easily, but they're also eventually wise up. Unfortunately, it takes an inflation, something like Zimbabwe and Venezuela, for some people to wake up. But those countries are still at it, thinking that's all we can do, instead of thinking about the fundamentals of what a free market is like and individual liberty and sound currency would do. No, that's too risky. We can't do that. That's for a later day. That's for not next year's Congress, but for a Congress down the road, if we do our job well enough to get people educated into understanding free market economics.
That's right, Dr. Paul. I'll finish up by summing up by saying, you know, this is a failed system that they're feverishly trying to bandage up with counterfeiting money. And the failure is definitely not free market capitalism, because we don't have that here anymore. It's definitely not the gold standard. There is no gold standard. It's not peace and not getting in everybody else's business. That's literally what America does, with 1,000 bases peppered all over the world that cost trillions and trillions of dollars. And it's definitely not lack of regulations. There are more regulations than we can count that could ever be enforced. I would love to hear the amount that's actually enforced, you know, versus all the regulations that are on the books. The failure is in government interference in our lives. It's overwhelming. The promises cannot be kept. The promises are overwhelming. They've promised to older people hundreds of trillions of dollars, and this is from a government that is $26 trillion in debt. It's absolute madness. And the only way out is like what Dr. Paul says, and these are ideas that are common to Americans. It's in our DNA, liberty, free markets, gold. It should be easy for us to go back to reality. And, you know, it can't be more obvious that that's exactly what we have to do.
Very good, Chris. And, you know, the Greenspan's been quizzed at times on inability to predict a downturn and when there's a bubble. And he argues, well, you just can't do that. You have to wait and get the statistics. And in spite of the fact that he was a gold standard person and actually understands the free market, but he argues you can't quite know. And in Austrian economics, the people who understand it don't pretend they know everything or all that's going to happen or what's going to happen next month. But they do know some certain economic rules. And yes, I say you can spot a bubble, and you know when a bubble's coming. Sometimes you don't know how big it's going to get, when the bubble's going to burst, and you don't know exactly which items are going to be involved in the bubble. Right now, obviously, the NASDAQ is in a bubble. The dollar is in a bubble. And yet there might not be, too many other bubbles that are apparent to people. People would say, well, consumer products haven't gone up a whole lot. That's not in a bubble. But some people I talked to said, no, I'm having trouble paying my bills. You know, the prices of food products are going up. And so therefore they can't do. So the answer to the question, can you predict it? No, you can't predict when it's going to happen exactly where. But if you watch monetary policy and understand Federal Reserve antics, you will know that they are the creator of the malinvestment. And believe me, there has been so much of this malinvestment and destruction of the real signals like interest rates for so long, people think that's the only thing you can do. But ultimately, that will prove, and the historian will say, how did they ever do this? You know, at least over the last 30, 40 years, they always thought, this is getting out of whack, we got to watch it. And then they would allow some correction to occur, but it was always going back to the same thing, spending. And each time there'd be a recession, and they had to go back to get out of the recession and get people back doing things again, you had to have more inflation and more spending. And that's why this is symbolic of the end stages, when you think $3 trillion in 3 months, and the people are arguing over now about how to spend the next $1 trillion. They don't even argue whether it should be spent. And you know, the farce of the Republicans being conservative when it comes to spending, you know, it's a real joke. But under the political circumstances, believe me, it wouldn't be very popular if somebody could wave a wand and do what was right, because there would be some pain. That would be like telling a cancer patient, you have to have surgery. And some would think it was without anesthesia or something. No, it is tough. But the whole thing is just doing the same thing over and over again and think that the results will be different this time. It's not going to happen. The changes will not occur. The next president and next Congress won't help us unless they start to work toward and endorse the principles of liberty. That is sound money, contracts, property rights, and very, very limited government, getting out of foreign wars. There's so many things that aren't complicated, and it would fit into our traditions and our Constitution, but the idea that people can get something for nothing is ingrained in our system, because we're told that everybody has to have a safety net. And if you don't have a safety net, not only are you heartless, you're also a dirty old racist. So nobody is going to do that. And that is why we have a long way to go in our educational process. But the way I see it, nothing can change to people's attitudes are changed. And where are most people's attitudes formed? Those individuals I knew in Congress, from our universities. So then when you go visit the university and think we're going to get some help there, forget it. But there's a lot of help out there outside the universities, in places like the Mises Institute and many other groups. And the numbers are growing, where you can get good information. And hopefully this then will reflect on a better system, one that we can live with and one that we can be proud of. Those are the goals that we should seek. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.